Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Four City. We are back. Buckle up. Let's go. Okay, the call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you for the next 60 minutes or more. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. Been getting a lot of good feedback throughout this week, and the shows are starting to kick back in. We got a lot of interesting things going on in the sport world, but nevertheless, I got my co-host with me. Aaron, how are you feeling this evening? Welcome back to the sports show.
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm happy to be back. Definitely enjoying myself.
So there's a craze around Sports City. Everybody's happy with what we got going on with the new chef, the AKA Miss E herself. But we got a lot of stuff to get into, especially in the NFL right now. As we know, Week 7 has just come into play last night. Denver hosted the Kansas City Chiefs, in which we have a big situation going on with I more or less want to say a dislocation of his kneecap. Yep, Mahomes has gone down. Your thoughts, as they took care of business, I'm not going to say too much bad about the Kansas City Chiefs because they did take care of business, winning that game on the road, holding Denver to 6 points. And knowing that the Chiefs' defense isn't their big, you know, big hand, if you will, the offense did put the points up, but they did slow them down defensively. Your thoughts on this Chiefs team as they try to move forward with Matt Moore until we hear more about what's going on with Mahomes?
Well, you know, I think the interesting thing about the game last night was within the past 24 hours, it does seem to have gone from almost a nightmarish, worst-case scenario with Mahomes going down. I've read reports where some of his teammates said it looked like a gruesome injury. You could tell just by the look on Mahomes' face, by the look on his teammates' face. Let's just say all of Kansas City, I think, held their breath for a few minutes there. I do know the MRI came back today, and it sounds like all reports are coming back best case scenario, and that he'll be out a couple weeks. And not only is it a best-case scenario with the injury, you never want to lose your starting quarterback, but like you said, his team held it down for him last night in a big way. Never easy to go into Denver. They had just come off two big wins. We're probably feeling pretty good. And I'm not going to lie, when I saw Mahomes go down, I did not expect the game to turn out the way it did. I thought it'd really light a fire under Denver. It seemed to do the opposite. I don't know if their offensive line showed up, if they decided to just take it easy, what went wrong there, or if it's more Kansas City's defense. But I think that they have enough weapons. They have enough talent on that team. And Matt Moore certainly is no Mahomes, but he's a veteran. He's been a starter. He's come in midway through the season to replace an injured quarterback. And I think he's capable enough and he's smart enough to know his role, which is to basically just go in there and not be the reason they lose games. He'll go in, they'll have him manage. They've got to get that running game going. And hopefully the team will come together. And they do have a tough schedule coming up. It's not the time you want to be without Mahomes. But also on the flip side, you know, luckily for them, the rest of the division isn't exactly killing it and doing their jobs, especially San Diego. I don't know what's happened there. So, you know, I think it's a good thing that he's okay. You never want to see a talented player hurt like that. But I really don't think there's much room or much cause to panic. If you are going to be without him for a couple weeks, this is the time in the season to do it. And I think the team will rally and go 2-1 over these next three games.
Well, for me, I initially am going to panic because you don't know what's going to go on next with Mahomes, because first it was an ankle. And this is an ankle that was bothering him, I think, the game before Detroit, if I'm not mistaken. And he played with it throughout the Detroit game, and then he comes into this game with that injury lingering. He's showing confidence. You don't want to go into a lot of these games week by week showing a wound or something that's hampering him. And you said Kansas City held their breath. Wait, the entire NFL held their breath. This guy's the MVP, so they're watching him with a close eye and wondering to see if he's, A, going to be available, B, this is one of the more explosive offenses in the league, if not the most explosive offense in the league, and it's all surrounded about him. I mean, they have speed at every position, and his arm is what makes everything go. To me, to be honest, and I think I am going to be kind of brutal, I don't believe in Matt Moore with the same success that I would think of with Mahomes behind center. So looking at that, in that retrospect, it's like, okay, the games that they should win, they should be able to take care of business. All you have to do is be a game manager. But those tough games where Mahomes will make a crazy play or a no-look pass or come up with a crazy left-handed pass because he's getting pressure from his right side and he makes the pass and completes it, these are the things that they're going to need number 15 behind center. So this is an uphill situation for the Chiefs. I know that a lot of quarterbacks that do get in front of Andy Reid offense end up having one of their better productive careers or seasons or stints in the NFL. And if Matt Moore can actually prove that right, then they'll be just fine right now. But they are in a situation
and
where
I'm,
they
don't.
Have... Oh, go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
I just want to make it clear. Sorry to interrupt. I just want to make it clear. I am in no way comparing Matt Moore to Mahomes.
I'm just saying the reality is right now.
And hey, you know, it is a reality, and like you said, it's not his first injury. I guess I do understand what you're saying with the ankle and now the knee. I'd have to double check and see if it's the same leg. I think that matters. But I do know, I remember week one, my son coming running in the room panicking because Mahomes was out. So that ankle's been an issue since week one. And it clearly, up until the game last week, I don't think you saw it bother him at all. I mean, he's been ridiculous this year. He's a ridiculous talent. You make an excellent point about the NFL. You know, they need players like him. Not only is he fun to watch, does he do things that don't seem humanly possible, but he seems to be a really, really good guy off the field and the type of role model you want your kids looking up to. Makes you wonder, is that Madden curse real? But maybe I look at it as a chance for the rest of the team to really see what they're made of. And over the next couple of weeks, we are going to find out if this Kansas City Chiefs team is for real. Because imagine if they can hold it down, the defense continues to play well, you know, keeps it going from last night. Offensive weapons, you know, as long as Matt Moore can get the ball to Tyreek Hill, we know he can outrun. And after last week, looks like he can out jump or go and moss anyone he wants to. And if they can play well and win a couple of these games, imagine the confidence that gives them knowing they did that without Mahomes. And then all of a sudden, right as you're rolling into end of November, beginning of December, and it's playoff times, you get him back and the confidence that might give that kind of team. Now, you know, you can't discount the fact that maybe they do lose a game or two. Matt Moore, I think, is smart. And the reason I think I say at least you know you have a manager and someone who's capable is that I have heard that the Andy Reid system is difficult to learn. There's been players who have had a hard time, so I think it's smart to stick with the player who's been there, not go out and get a rental quarterback for a couple of weeks. But, you know, I think if this turns out to just be a dislocated knee and he's out 3 weeks and then comes back and is Patrick Mahomes, You know, I think that's one thing. But like you said, if this turns into something bigger, and he keeps getting bitten by the injury bug, then we have a problem.
I think they need to watch this closely. I don't think they need to rush him back because this is the franchise, period. I mean, there's great players on this team. You got Travis Kelce, you got Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins. I mean, I could throw name after name out of that offense. Mahomes is everything to this team. This guy is under 25 years old. Like there's so many plus sides to this guy. Boy, they try to just rush him out there and, like, let's just say a two-week scenario, and then he faces an onslaught of a blitz, and then he falls on the knee the wrong way. Well, this takes an awkward fall. Anything can happen. They got to watch this very closely because this is bigger than just this season, even though this season means everything with all of the pieces they have because you're not going to, you know, guarantee that everybody's going to be back next season. But they have an interesting slate of games coming up, too. Next Sunday they play the Packers. The Sunday after that they play the Vikings. They play at Tennessee. They play the Chargers that you spoke about. They play the Raiders, who turned their season around at 3-2. Then they play the Patriots. So they have an interesting slate of games for the next couple of games throughout this season. So they got to kind of pick their poison, rest as much as possible to not make this a troublesome situation where they're going to be stuck with the backup or trying to sign somebody to save face. Because right now, behind Matt Moore, the third string quarterback is their fullback, Anthony Sherman. And to me, he's obviously too big to be a quarterback. If you see him, I think he'll be more or less on slate to run like a wildcat plays and things of that nature. I don't think him specifically throwing deep passes to the likes of, you know, Tyreek Hill trying to catch him in stride. I don't think this is a win situation for them. So they have to think about this. And not rushing him back. Make sure that he's 100% healthy before they try to attack the rest of the league and make a run at this trophy if they possibly can.
I completely agree with you there, 100%. Especially, like I said, considering the division they're in, I know that the Raiders have made a season. They are seemingly improving every week. I know it was a big statement win for them in London last week. But I don't really realistically see any of, you know, between the Raiders, the Chargers have dug themselves a huge hole. I definitely think they'll get it together and make a run. And then the Broncos, especially after last night, I mean, that's a game you have to win. You're at home, their star player goes down, and they come out the gate, score a touchdown. Sure enough, miss that extra point, as we've touched on. But in my opinion, if you're a good football team, a playoff team, those are the games that you step up and win. So I think that Kansas City, you know, home field advantage throughout might be tough. And I know that's something that's important. They do, even though they have lost their last two home games, they're typically very, very tough to beat at home. And I think that they should take their time, get Mahomes 100%, don't rush him back. And they have kind of, you never can count on it, but the comfort of knowing that, you know, 10-6 could very well win that division, get them a home game. I don't know about a first round bye, but that's where then you have to have the confidence if you have your team healthy at the right time of the year and you have Mahomes back healthy, it doesn't matter where they're playing those games. They can still make that run.
Yeah, and at least they save face for right now, everything were to completely run its course. I mean, they'd be behind the Patriots, and who knows if the Patriots fall off course somewhere, one way or another. I don't think they run the table and go 16-0. I just don't think that'll happen. Even though they do, they have the tools to do it, and they have the quarterback that's been there before. But I think that they'll slip up somewhere. But Kansas City has to continue to win their games, win throughout, to try and at least tie or better than New England Patriots. So that's one thing for a playoff scenario. But I don't even want them to go that far into thinking that. They have to think about week by week how to attack each opponent and be prepared, because everybody's going to make it tough for the backup right now and Matt Moore until Mahomes gets back. That's going to be the only way to try to beat them. I mean, Kansas City's defense is one of the worst in the league, even though they did great up against Denver. But the one thing about Denver is Joe Flacco's running the show, and Flacco looks like a backup right now. He does not look like the NFL starting quarterback. Like I really feel bad for a guy like Philip Lindsay at the running back position, because it's like he's doing all that he can, and then when they get ready to pass, it's like nothing looks well. Like they really are just running routes and looking for an incompletion. He's still thinking that he could throw that mega pass and have somebody run underneath it and get him his first down or touchdown. That Baltimore play is gone from him. Like he needs to come up with something new, something interesting to help the Denver Broncos. But
and so is that defense.
Well, they still have some of the no-fly guys with Harris, but I'm really thinking about how they were talking about get rid of Von Miller, and Von Miller is there at this time, but will he be there, like, afterwards, like, after this season? Like, they were already talking about trying to move him if he's disgruntled and tried to, cause some type of a smoke. Let me just say smoke. I don't want to say fire yet, but if there's smoke, there's fire. If anything could happen and he could move out of Denver, Denver could be in a troublesome situation with little to no pieces there to look presentable in the seasons to come.
Well, that's one thing I was going to bring up tonight. Obviously, we had to lead off with what happened in Kansas City. It's the biggest story probably this season, excluding Antonio Brown, who doesn't really deserve any mention right now. Is the issue of these upcoming quarterback controversies, or how many do we have currently? How many are on the horizon? And with a guy like Von Miller, knowing that they are borderline disgruntled, you do have some of these key pieces there, huge players that are impact players, Hall of Fame type players that you have to keep happy to some extent, as especially they get towards the end of the career, they want those chances to win. So at what point maybe do they throw Drew Lock in there to see what they have with them and maybe give some restored hope to some of these veterans or some of these players that have been frustrated? And I think, as we've seen, the Joe Flacco experiment in Denver has not been going according to plan, not even close. And last night it was, he almost felt sorry for the guy as many times as he was on the ground. It just looked like he looked lost out there. It looked like a JV offense playing up against the varsity defense.
Well, buckle up, Aaron. This is your first call within 2 weeks. Calling in by way of Atlanta, Georgia, we have Nosh in the building. Nosh, welcome to the Aaron and Timer Show. How are you feeling this evening?
Hey, I'm good, man. How y'all doing?
We're good. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I just wanted to hit on 2 points real quick, man. Good show so far, man. I'm listening and at work, and y'all holding me down. You know what I mean? Letting the hours pass by. But
right.
On the KC front, man, I think it'd be more sensible to put Mahomes on the IR, sit him for the year, get the surgery or whatever else is needed, and just go ahead and trade for Marcus Mariota. It's not going to take much. Tennessee has already moved on from him as a franchise guy. You bring in Marcus with Andy Reid's system and the talent they have around them, and you scheme your way the best way you can as far as the rest of the season. But you don't put somebody like Mahomes at risk because of the greed of chasing for one championship when you got a guy who's a game changer for the next decade. And to me, going by, things like the RG3 story and other things we've seen, like it's just not worth the risk. And as far as Denver, fire John Elway. I know it wouldn't be popular in Denver, but he's mismanaged that quarterback situation for way too long. And you don't get rid of Von Miller. You keep pass rushers. But John just can't get the job done. And I know he's Denver's beloved son, but it's time. And that's all I got, y'all. But good show.
Thank you. Let me spice this up a little bit more for you, too. Nas, listen to what just came out on USA Today. Chiefs owner Clark Hunt says he'd have no hesitation in signing Colin Kaepernick. How about that?
Wow. Okay, now
sounds,
we're talking.
Sounds good.
Now
let's see it on
we're talking.
Right.
Because
it does sound good. No, you're right. It does sound good. But it's like somebody has to make the jump. And just like I said, Matt, hold on. Let me get right and say this, too, because I feel, like, confident and comfortable saying it. Right now, Matt Moore is running this ship. Like, what? This guy is, like, I want to say, like, his career, I don't even know if he has double-digit wins total. And their backup behind him is their fullback, unless they really start looking at their practice squad quarterback. I mean, I understand. Okay. And please, people around Sports City, and you two, both of you being Aaron and Nas, don't take what I'm about to say. But enough is enough with all of this quote-unquote black ball and Colin Kaepernick because of him taking a knee. Somebody has to play this guy. There's quarterbacks in the league that have less potential. Hell, Matt Moore is not a better quarterback to me than Colin Kaepernick. So it's like they probably could be the team that make everybody hold their breath, because this is still that explosive offense that everybody loves to see every Sunday. What, people are not going to tune in to watch the Chiefs, and then next thing you know, if he's there, he's helping them win games? I mean, enough is enough now. Enough is enough.
Here's why I love that idea with Kaepernick is with the Marcus Mariota situation. I mean, it's definitely an interesting idea, and I see where you're going with that. But with the way he's been playing, and is he really that much of an upgrade from Matt Moore right now? And remember, you'd have to give up something to get him. And even though he's a bust, clearly they are looking to move on. They're not going to just give him away. Whereas you can go out, Kaepernick brings some excitement. It brings, I agree with you, Tyrone. It is so ready and so time to move on from that. The guy deserves a chance to play. I think he's done everything in his power that's been asked of him. I think he's been put in terrible situations. I actually got to meet him out at the U.S. Open this year. Great guy, really cool person. Sat out there all day in the 100-degree weather, rooting on Naomi Osaka, meeting fans, taking pictures. And any time it came up, all he said was he just would love the chance to play football again and have it just be about football. So, you know, you go pick him up, and yes, you're going to have to pay him. I don't think you're going to have to pay him a lot, but you don't have to give up anything in return. And I'd have to know more about Patrick Mahomes' knee and everything, because I know RG3, if I remember correctly, I mean, he blew his knee out. They did say the ligaments look great. There's no damage to that. It's, you know, a dislocated kneecap is nothing to joke about, but I don't know about season ending, but I definitely agree with the very, very overly cautious approach. And you definitely have to get someone in there. And, you know, if it's Kaepernick, Matt Moore will give him a couple weeks to get caught up, to learn the system. And like I said, I've heard that's a tough system to learn. I know Travis Kelce. It's not just anyone that can go in there. So I would imagine that's going to factor into it too. They're going to be looking for a quarterback that has, you know, good football smarts and good football knowledge. And yeah, I agree with John Elway. John Elway has blinders when it comes to quarterbacks. He's too close to the team. Maybe he could do a better job with a different franchise, but he's too involved emotionally. And I agree that he'd be better off sitting in the stands rooting the team on than running it.
Yeah, some people aren't good evaluating their position. So it's like, yeah, that young, big, tall guy, he reminds me of myself. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, some people just aren't good at their position, and the Elway quarterback is bad. Sorry, I'm in the grocery store. Yes, I did.
No worries. Well, yeah, and Elway is a natural athlete. I mean, the guy was drafted. They fought over him. Is he going to play baseball? Is he going to play football? I'm assuming things came relatively easily to him. It was a different mindset in players those days. It was just a different makeup. And I agree, just because he's one of the greatest ever to play does not mean he's one of the greatest ever to evaluate. And he's proven that not once, not twice, not three times, but year after year now. I think the one thing that he did that helped the organization was his status helped him get Peyton Manning and get that one Super Bowl. But Denver's a type of town and type of franchise that you want competitive every year. And they've got to find someone that can evaluate the quarterback position and get that figured out.
So, Aaron, if
agreed.
You were GM,
but, I'm going to hang back and listen. You could put me on mute, Thomas, but thanks for letting me know.
No doubt. definitely, no doubt, Nas, definitely. Raise your hand if you want to get back in, just let me know. But, Aaron, if you were GM and head coach leading up the mod and were able to pull the trigger, do you agree with Nas? Would you pull the trigger on having him on IR and rest for the remainder, or would you wait to hear, you know, how much of a timetable, if it was 4 to 6 weeks? I mean, depending on what they hear back from feedback-wise, would you be cautious about this and resting your franchise quarterback, or would you try to get him out there to try to save the season as soon as he could possibly be healthy?
No, I mean, I think you find the happy medium. I think the priority, my first concern if I'm running that team is, like you said, his long-term health. He is young. He has 1 year in the league starting MVP. I mean, he's all the league can talk about. If anything, maybe this will give someone else a chance to really break through and shine. But I think his health long-term is what matters. You're cautious with it. I think it's none of this, oh, I'm 80%. I could be out there. We understand he's a player. He wants to be out there. He wants to be with his team. You saw him at the end of the game last night. You know, he could have been back in the locker room, hanging his head, and he's the first one in the locker room after that win, pumping him up, you know, giving him their props. So it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. And unless you have a legitimate reason to put him on IR, I don't see that happening. I don't know that he would let that happen. And two, to me, that in a sense says you're giving up on the season. And I think there's no rush to do that. Give it a couple weeks. If the knee doesn't look like it's coming around like you had hoped it did, if he has a setback, if they discover there's an underlying issue that they didn't, you know, it doesn't always happen that the first MRI finds everything, you know, it could have been swollen. There could be things they've missed. So if something else comes along, then yes, I think that becomes a very serious option. But for right now, you take it 1 week at a time. You focus on the rehab, you get the best doctors, the best physios, you know, everyone, get him on a good program, see how he responds. And then in 3 weeks, in that timetable the doctors gave you, where they expected him to be healthy, that's when you reevaluate, and either you're 100%, we might wait another week or two, or you're not 100%. I don't care if you technically could play, you're done for the season, you're too important going forward. But you also know the NFL is a win now.
Well, definitely. And if they are in a win now scenario, I mean, they still have to chase after Tom Brady. To be the man, you have to beat the man. So especially with Brady with a defense now and weapons, like it used to be Brady with Gronk and Edelman and a bunch of pieces that are playing a fill-in role in a defense that just did just enough to manage to keep Brady in the game. Now he has one of the better defense, if not the best defense in the league, and now he has weapons on the outside with speed. I mean, even though they're somewhat injured right now, when they get back, they're going to be at full strength too. So it's a seesaw.
And he's got N'Keal Harry coming.
And he just got cleared too, so this is big for Brady right now. For them to have him come back, Gordon come back, Dorsett come back, just feeling how this team could be weapon-wise. I don't want to give your Patriots too much props while you're here. I'll do it on another show, but not with you here. Okay, so
hey,
I know you're ready to
still 42 years old.
No, don't start. I don't even want to. This is the story of a guy named Brady. Everybody knows I'm singing that song to him. But I'm not going to get into it with you because I know she'll just be ranting and raving, and this will be great. Even though people need to hear you, they need to hear you talk about him, though. But I know that you came.
We'll
you
get to it in the postseason.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Well, this week we'll probably get to it as soon as we get back on air. But I know you had dishes that you wanted to throw out at the kitchen, so I'll allow you to cook. Get it on here in the kitchen.
All right, well, let me just really quick and keep him with the quarterback theme. I just started thinking this week, and I'm sure, you know, you're hearing it on a lot of the shows, but we're starting to get into the meat of the season. The pretenders are starting to be exposed, and the contenders are starting to emerge. We still have a little bit to figure out, but we definitely are in the midst, or if not directly in the midst, I see a few quarterback controversies on the horizon. I believe, I want to say, was it you, Ty, on Sunday, who thought Mariota would be done by week 11? And he lasted a quarter. I don't know if his era, is he completely?
James called that, so I owe James the stage. He said that Mariota
I don't
want to
take
your
credit.
Right.
That was a good call, James. Good call because, well, we all know how you feel about Tannehill. I share similar thoughts. So it just showed me how poorly Mariota's playing that the hook came that quickly because we still have a lot of season to go. So, you know, it made me wonder, is Mariota done? You have the Minshew-Nick Foles situation in Jacksonville. You know, the Redskins, is it going to be McCoy? Is it Haskins? Is it Keenum? What do they do there? At what point does Denver consider benching Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton? You know, do you keep rolling with him or do you give the rookie a chance to get out there and play? So what do you think going forward as the season progresses are going to be the biggest quarterback controversies that emerge?
The one that I really couldn't think would have ever happened at this point in time right now is Cam Newton and Kyle Allen. Like I could never think of this in a million years right now. One, I know that before the season started, I want to say months before the season started, they were worried about Cam and his injury history and seeing if it would linger into the season. He got into the season, they started out 0-2, and it really looked like Carolina was going to fall behind the eight ball, probably be one of the bottom feeders in the NFC South. Cam gets injured, they put the backup in Kyle Allen, they won four games straight, they are sitting right behind the Saints. Like this is making it somewhat so interesting that I personally feel, I'm going to just say this personally, not analytically, I really feel like the Panthers may move away from Cam Newton. I really do. I really feel like
I'm with you there.
I feel like Cam has done as much as he could. He got to the Super Bowl, and Denver already knew that they said, we're going to force him to pass the ball. We know that he's a scrambler, but he don't want to pass. And then you start thinking about those games when he really has to pass the game, Cam loses those games. Like, when he has to pass the ball, like they put that pressure on him and making sure he can't get his escape routes to pick up yardage, he loses. They have a quarterback now that believes in the system. The whole receiving core that nobody knew a lot of the names unless you were here at Sports City or real people that follow sports know the names other than, you know, Olsen or McCaffrey. These guys are buying in. Moore is out there making plays as well. Christian McCaffrey is looking like the guy that could be one of the favorites for the NFL MVP right now. And this is behind Kyle Allen. This isn't with Cam Newton while Cam Newton was there for the first couple of games. So I think this is the biggest one. Now, the one that surprises me the most, though, like out of all of this, they're not even putting anybody in the limelight to be behind Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is continuing to run the show in Cincinnati, and there's no threat to take his job. He's been the $100 million quarterback in Ohio. He's gotten to the playoffs several times, lost every appearance getting into the first round. It's like, come on, he has tools, he has weapons to make plays on the outside, and they're still not successful. So that's one of the more surprising. But the one that I really think that makes the most sense is the Kyle Allen, Cam Newton situation for sure. I think Kyle Allen runs the ship even if Cam gets healthy. If Cam's 100% healthy, tell Cam to throw up NFL gang signs to me. He gets a clipboard and become a Crip. I don't care what it is. Just throw up your gang signs and help your boy be situated for the remainder of the season. I don't see him coming off the field while this team is hot. Right now, he has not lost an NFL game running the show. That'd be ridiculous to put Cam back behind center.
Well, another one I agree with you. Man, we're on the same page tonight. Like I said, reminds me of a little situation back in 2001 up in New England. You know, you put a rookie in, or I think he was second year at the time, behind a $100 million quarterback. Bledsoe took a nasty shot, but they knew he'd be back. And it was a ballsy call by Belichick. It was a tough call for those who were not close fans of the Patriots. Or, like I said, I followed Brady at Michigan. So all jokes aside, I really truly believed from the minute he went in and he was going to be successful. And it's a similar situation. up in Carolina. I just don't see how it's not just that the team has got great chemistry right now. They're playing hard. They're fighting. They're playing together. They look like they're having fun out there. But Kyle Allen's playing well. It's not like they're winning in spite of him. Sure, Christian McCaffrey is a beast, and I think right now you'd have to put him up as the MVP. But, again, they had him the first two games of the year. He put up some big numbers, and they started 0-2. I think he's got that team inspired. I have mentioned before, and I don't know, I have no right to make a judgment on Cam Newton, and that's not what I'm doing, but I just don't get the sense that I don't know if it's the same love for the game. I think he loves the game, but it almost seems like a similar situation to Gronkowski in that, you know, people forget how big Cam Newton is. They forget what a beating he has taken throughout his career and what he has played through and how, and I think that's part of the problem and why he was injured again coming into the season is he's never taken the time to truly let himself heal because they have needed him on the field. And once he gets out there, he's not the type of guy that's just going to sit in the pocket and say, well, I'm not going to run anymore, or I'm going to make sure I slide every time. It's just in his nature. He's an athlete. And, you know, you just wonder what it's like for him day to day and the road he has ahead of him to truly come back to get to that point where he could lead the team back to a Super Bowl, because this is a team that has the pieces or is putting the pieces together to be a really good franchise. And I think at this point, he is still Cam Newton. He's very valuable. There's enough teams out there that are desperate for quarterbacks that are a few pieces away or have, you know, maybe a strong defense or some good weapons, but don't have a quarterback there. I mean, who knows? Baker Mayfield looks like a different player this year. Does not look like the same guy out there. Who knows how long his leash is? There's a situation where you know, plunk a veteran in, a guy like Cam, who also I think would vibe with the guys on offense there. But right now, in Carolina, I think you've got to roll with Kyle Allen and just look at the overall, not just offensively, the defense seems to be playing more inspired football. And I really don't think you can disrupt that. Like you said, they're only chasing the Saints, who I don't care if Bridgewater goes 13-0. That is the one place you will not have a quarterback controversy. I think what's happened is Bridgewater has won the job once or proven that he could be the guy once Breeze steps down, and he clearly made the right choice. But, yeah, I think Kyle Allen – and Cam Newton is definitely going to get a lot of airtime in the media in the coming weeks, along with the Nick Foles Minshew situation once he starts to get healthier.
We do have Nod back, but I never thought of the situation with Baker Mayfield. I didn't think about like a quarterback pressing him for that position, but it can present itself because he has been playing sluggish. He has not been putting up the big numbers that we've seen at least last year, and with the likes of having Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham, I think that his performances should be better. But this is something that can be given a thought. It's interesting that you are cooking one heck of a dish, so I'll let you get through with that. But we do have Nas here. Nas, I don't know if you had something to add to what we were throwing around here in the kitchen.
Yeah, there's a huge thing you guys are missing on this, especially the Cam Newton situation. Basically, what you saw the first two games of the season, Cam Newton's shoulder is roast beef. Like, that shoulder is done. Like, you saw him aiming the ball. That's why he was missing high, missing low. He was trying to get it there, but he wasn't throwing the ball anymore because that shoulder is done. Remember, he had the same injury as Andrew Luck. He chose to do rehabilitation. Andrew had surgery, and, you know, ultimately, you know, he never got right, and we saw Andrew retire. But basically, sooner or later, you got to pay the bill. And right now, they're either going to put him on IR or he's going to have the shoulder surgery, and they're going to try to figure out what they're going to do next season. But Kyle Allen is a replacement-level quarterback. Like, he's not good. They'll probably draft another QB. Their skill positions and their defense are ready to win now. So you can kind of game manage your way into wins. The same way New Orleans is doing with Teddy, So you can do that for a while, but, like, long term, like, yeah, Cal Allen's not the answer. Not a big arm, not very accurate. But right now, they're playing really well. But we'll see, you know, going forward. But the Cam Newton story, and it's definitely not talked about enough because people keep talking about the foot and the lack of scrambling ability. But the bigger issue is the shoulder, because it's like if he could just stand in the pocket like an old man and still get the ball out, he'd be fine. But the fact that he can't right now because he can't rely on where the ball is going because of that shoulder, that was why they had to pull him eventually. Honestly, starting him was kind of irresponsible, really. Because you see what he looks like during, you know, during camp and during practice. So it was kind of irresponsible to start him. But we'll see, man. Cam may be wearing a new jersey next year, or we may see the Andrew Luck story play out again, because it's hard to get a shoulder back right, man, as we saw with Peyton towards the end when Peyton was throwing ducks around. You know what I mean? Like, it's a hard thing to get right.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And
how
that's kind of what I'm. That's kind of what I'm getting at in terms of, does he have that drive to do what it takes to get healthy again? And he has nothing less to prove as an athlete or as a player, but I agree with you, Naz. I mean, it's done. It clearly needs more than rehab. And my only question is, are you saying that you think they should have Cam put him on IR for the season, have him have the surgery and come back next season as Carolina's quarterback, or are you saying get through the year with Kyle Allen and then it's time to move on in general and maybe you look to draft or sign a quarterback? Because I agree that rest of that team looks ready to win now.
Yeah, well, I think you got to have the surgery now so that way you have a better idea about if you would even entertain the idea of bringing him back next year. Because if you wait, or, you know, you allow him to keep doing what he's doing now where he's saying he's going to keep rehabbing it and he'll be ready later, then you still have the same questions in the offseason. So, to me, I think you try to get him to, you know, you advise him to get the surgery and then you make your decision, you know, later on in the season, which I think will be what you guys ultimately said, to where they move on from Cam. But shoulder surgery is shoulder surgery. No such thing as light shoulder surgery. So, you know, we're going
to
see.
Oh, I'm a tennis player, so you don't have to tell me. I've seen it take down many a great, great athletes. It is no
right.
joke, and knock on wood, lucky for me, it's kind of one of the only things I haven't had to deal with. But, yeah, that is no joke, and that's exactly why the first thing that comes to my mind is he willing to do what it takes to come back from that type of surgery? Because, you know, like you said, you saw what happened with Andrew Luck. I don't think that the shoulder is necessary. Lee, the reason he retired, I think he just got sick of, as with Gronkowski, being chronically injured, being in pain all the time, and it starts to take the fun out of the game. It seems like you're spending more time in rehab, more time with doctors than you are due playing the game you love. And the whole reason these guys beat themselves up and put themselves through this every week is because they love the game of football. I understand money motivates as well, but it's got to wear on someone year after year to have to be going through that process. And I don't know from Adam, but I just get the vibe that Cam is willing to do what it, try to rehab it, wanted to see if he could get healthy that way, his way, avoid the surgery. But I don't know. I don't get the sense that he's really too keen on having the surgery or really has it in him to come back from it once he has it. Maybe there's things we don't know that he has been told by doctors that makes his operation different. I know once they open him up and get in there, there's a whole nother slew of issues that could come up that they don't always see. So I think maybe by not having the surgery to this point, he's kind of telling us in his own way that, you know, he's got one foot out the door.
What
ready to start that
guy,
fashion line.
Right. Well, he's a strange guy, and he kind of fits the Gronkowski comparison you just made, meaning his identity as a person is a football player. Like, that's how much
right.
he played. Like, that's how much a part of his life it is. So I think he's going to do everything he can. But remember, first 2 years in the league, he wouldn't take shots for pain. He refused to take shots for pain. So he doesn't like a whole lot of the medicinal side of football. So you can see why it's easy for a guy like that to try to avoid surgery. But, yeah, we'll see how this goes. But eventually, man, they got to get in there. because you can't go out here with a guy where you're hoping his shoulder's right. Like, you can't do it. But I'm going to get out you guys' way and pull you up on the computer and listen, man. But
I'm not done with you. Wait, hold on. Before you run and start enjoying peaches out there in Georgia, you just said Allen isn't good. Well, he's off to a 4-0 start. What is it, mediocre? I mean, the crazy part that I look at, okay, and Aaron mentioned it, like Minshew was doing good, but then now all of a sudden I think he's come back to earth and he's let a couple of these games go, and it's going to be an interesting situation when Nick Foles gets back. Do they stick with Gardner, or do they go with Nick? Because Nick's resume, if you will, set suits him. But you have this situation with Kyle Allen. We have nobody seen him, and he's come out right here, and he's done well here in the States. He's even traveled with the team to England and pulled that game off over there. I mean, I say he's good. You don't want to give him good? What are you giving him, mediocre?
All right, I'll put it like this. In football, we only get one game a week, so that creates week-long narratives, and we're dealing with small sample sizes, so we tend to project things. So, yes, the team is 4-0, the same way New Orleans is winning. This doesn't mean that these are good quarterbacks. They're a part of teams that are winning. Doesn't mean they're most responsible or have a lion's share of the reasons why they're winning. He can get the ball out quickly. Look, he was a top prospect coming out, but he ended up getting beat out, in school and had to transfer based on that. And then it came to, draft day, all the off-the-field stuff. And when they evaluated him, it's just certain things that they thought about him as far as his arm. So this is not like me bringing up something that's kind of, out of the woods. This is how everybody kind of thought of him. That's why he was an undrafted guy. So he's okay. Like I said, there are guys who can get the ball out and you can win with them if you have talent around them. But you don't misjudge that talent and think you have a player. That's how you end up paying Andy Dalton $100 million if you're not careful. So as far as Gardner, Gardner's shown well. Like, you can't have a complaint about Gardner. You get a guy like that in the sixth round, and he comes in after you have that devastating injury and plays confidently. Like, I think Gardner has a place in the league no matter what. But is he better than Nick Foles? We'll have to see next season when you really have a fight for it. But, man, it's going to be tough for Nick Foles to come back injured and take this guy's gig, because he has a certain flair about how he plays that people really, really like to see, and a certain chemistry with DJ to where, like, I think we're talking about a different thing with Gardner and then talking about Kyle Allen. I would put Gardner way above Teddy and Kyle Allen.
Well, it's almost like Nick Foles is getting Nick Foles. It's, Pierre Gardner comes in to save the day, and it's like, talk about flipping the script. And, clearly, Minshew's a rookie. He doesn't have a resume. I think he's proven he can play without Mike Leach, which is what I know a lot of people were concerned about. Was he just the product of a system? But it is kind of interesting, just the fact that here we are a year later, Nick Foles finally gets his time in the sun to, a starter. I think he lasts a quarter, and here he comes, like I said, getting Nick Foles on himself. So it will be interesting to see how that
cold
plays
world.
Out.
It's a cold world. But,
it sure is.
Nick Foles is a strong dude, though, and that's a dude who, competing in camp, he's going to be hell. So Gardner better get it in. But, like you said, man, there have been many darlings after four games and five-game sample sizes, and then, reality smacked them in the face. So they could be at some point begging for Nick Foles to come back.
True. And really quickly with the Kyle Allen thing, let's say, he goes and they finish the season 12-4. He loses two games as a starter. They lose in the NFC Championship game. Are you – thoughts change? Does that change your opinion, or is nothing gonna sell you on him as a long-term quarterback?
Oh no, I just deal with what I see, and I haven't seen anything outside of system from him. I see him playing within the system, getting the ball out on time where it needs to be. So, like I said, I just see him as a guy. Now, if he starts making plays outside of system and starts being responsible for the winning when people try to take McCaffrey away, and we see a different side of him, then you already know he's getting paid if that's the case. And salute to him. Like, they're not getting to the NFC Championship game if he doesn't play well. So, yeah, if it goes to that scenario, then, then I'm on you guys' side.
One more question before you go, Nas, and I'll let you go. Or not even question, statement. John Wall out for the entire 2019-2020 NBA season. Your thoughts on back-to-back seasons of John Wall missing in action?
It was expected. They need to try to figure out some kind of buyout where both sides can kind of just walk away from all of this. And, you know, this is the risk, with guaranteed contracts. And I don't think anybody's wrong here. Washington drafted a guy number one. They bet on his potential. He's somewhat of an irresponsible guy. I don't blame him for getting hurt. But, hey, Washington brought in your man from who helped six the Cleveland Browns, Sashi Brown. And he's going to look at this analytically and just say, cost per dollar, we're getting you up out of here. We just re-signed Bill. So if we do move Bill or build with him, we've got a plan in place. But, no shots to John Wall, man. He could have been an all-time great. Who knows? He may come back and finish his career. But if you're Washington, I mean, it's just bad luck. What can you do?
What are your thoughts on that? Because I hear word coming out that he's going to be, I don't know if this is just kind of a role and title or if they're really going to have him in there, but that he's going to be helping to coach the team this season. Do you think he'll turn out better as a coach than a player, or you think it's just kind of a way to keep him in the media and keep him around, sell tickets and things like that?
I don't know if he has that kind of goodwill around that franchise where he needs to be around. Like, I don't think the majority of Washington fans look at him in that way just because, you know, some of the stuff he's done over the years.
Yeah.
And the tough part is somebody who is so dependent on quickness and athleticism, you're kind of scared of him coming back from injury as now a skill guy. Is that the John Wall you would even want on your roster? So I don't know if I want him on public relations, and I damn sure wouldn't try to bet on him in the future as far as what he could be when he comes back. And I'm saying this as a big John Wall fan from the old high school highlight days. But, yeah, it's going bad.
So you think him as a coach, because they're saying that he's going to be on board and as an assistant coach this season. So you don't think that's a good idea either?
I don't know the man well enough. This is just my opinion, but I mean I don't know
he
if there's much value in John Wall
as
that
guy. Yeah, he doesn't strike me as having a wealth of basketball knowledge that he's eager to share. And guys like that, too, it's hard for them, I would think, to take a step back in a role like that and not be the center of attention, not be the one out there. I don't know. I thought it was an interesting move by the team, and time will tell if it's more of a public relations move or if they really are see something in him as a potential coach.
Hey, and do you really need that Washington assistant coach pulled over with half ounce? Like, do you really need that? I'm not with it, but it is what it is. Shout out to John Wall. Still loved his game when he was at his best.
And I don't know if that is something that motivated this team. They are in Philadelphia up against Royce King's 76ers. They are winning the game. People, buckle up. 94-65. I know it's preseason, but they are damn near up 40 in the end of the third quarter. So that they might have taken this as a fueling situation, or if Embiid and nobody playing, if they just have cheerleaders and water boys playing, I don't know. But this score is out of hand right now, especially while they received the news earlier today. They're up 29 in Philadelphia. Okay. So, I know. Aaron, I know you had some more to go. I don't know if you have anything else that you want to throw out there. I could put more time on the board, or we can, you know, throw one more out before we get out of here. I'll let you decide it.
I'm going to just switch it up really quick. Want your opinion, I guess. Yankees are playing right now, playing for their lives. Verlander came out, got blown up in the first inning.
Yes, he did.
So much for that Cole-Lander duo. But you think the Yankees are dead, or you think that they have the fight in them to come back and win this series? And we all know how much, I'm sure, well, we know the TV would love to see a Washington-New York World Series. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, or if you think Houston's just too solid with the pitching and the 3-1 hole's too deep for the Yankees to climb out of, especially considering I think they'd have to win the last two at Houston.
Well, here's the crazy part. Not just – I don't think TV. I think the Boone family and people that live here in the tri-state area want to see the Yankees and Nationals go at it because Aaron Boone's father is in the front office of the Nationals and he's the manager of the Yankees. So I think that's where that static may be. And also with Trump being a New Yorker and a Yankee fan as well and him being down there in D.C. may have that go on and be a 95 situation. But I don't know. And this is the crazy part because I know the offense of the Astros, you can't overlook them, but they're doing the Yankees are doing just enough to – maintain this 4-1 lead right now. I know if the Astros can get men on base and one batter gets up and makes a good swing, anything can happen. But I think the Yankees will hang on to this one. And for game 6 and 7, I think it would be tough for the Yankees to get it done. But anything can happen because they are taking advantage of the Astros' best pitcher in Verlander. Verlander has done enough for this team, but the past couple of starts, the one that they had down there in Houston where Judge got the best of them, but they still were able to get the win. And right now they jumped on them early in the first inning and really couldn't think about, I mean, well, they really haven't really regained their step to get back into this game. So, the league isn't playing with them. I think that that rain game that happened a few days ago, they're making them play 3 games back-to-back-to-back. So whoever wants it more, I think the Yankees offense is just as high-powered as the Astros. So, I think the Yankees are in a bad situation, but they do have the lineup that can make this happen. It would be crazy if they could win 3 straight up against the Astros, who had their number, especially the last time when they met in the playoffs, I think 2 years ago.
Yes, when the Astros did, I don't think the Yankees could buy a hit in that series. So you think ultimately the Astros pitching is going to get them through the series in 7 and that the Yankees bats will make it interesting, but just got down in too deep a hole. Even though I will say I was the one, unfortunately, I went back in the day when the Yankees made Pedro Martinez their daddy and went up 3-0 in that series. My cousin worked for the team at the time, and I remember telling him I had to be at those games where they clinched that series against Boston and went to game 4, lost, went to game 5. So the Yankees know what it's like to be on the other end of, a deep hole in the playoffs. And I think that if their bats get hot, it doesn't matter who Houston has pitching. I know Cole has been out of this world, but I guess I would, and with that crew, I'd love to see the New York-Washington World Series. I think it'd be good for baseball. I think October baseball is fun, and it would get a lot of people watching the series, which would be good for the sport. And kind of in closing, just summing everything up, I just been thinking a lot about this week, about everything we have going on. We have, the Major League Baseball playoffs coming to an end. You have the NHL, the NBA back in season. I mean, the NFL is in full swing. Need I say more? You've got in the tennis world, you've got huge tournaments and the year-end championships being played. I know golf starts their season up in October. College football, again, you're starting to see the pretenders exposed, the contenders emerge. We're getting to that point where you cannot overcome a loss going forward. Which I guess just begs the question before we go off the air, is October the best month in sports?
This is very tough for me. It's a toss-up. October and January get me going. Like right when December ends, I mean, because I love December because my birthday comes around and a lot of
we all know how you feel about your birthday.
Girl, slow down. Don't do this to me. But, basketball is getting hot, and football gets close to the postseason run. Everybody's trying to see who's going to, make the wild card run or who wins the division or who has that half a game lead on somebody. So it's tough, but October is up there. October is one of those better months. I am going to put a dish in front of you, and I want you to answer this quickly before we start to get our closeout on, and I'm going to put you to the heat of the kitchen. Who is your favorite for the Heisman, Tua, Lawrence, or Taylor, or Hurts, or Hurts?
I'm going to go, you know, you got to, it's hard to pick against Tua just because you have so much. I'm a big believer that, you know, you get that hype train going and that's big. It puts your name in voters' minds early on. And then, but I'd say down at LSU, that quarterback down there, I think they're in the midst of a special season. I actually have them in my top four college teams going to the playoffs and have them beating Alabama. And the reason Alabama does not make the college playoffs this year. So I think it's a tough choice. I think it really could go. I'm glad you put Taylor in there. I think he deserves mention. I think Wisconsin's a scary team, but I'm going to go with Burrow as a slight upset over Tua.
Really? So you're going with the LSU quarterback. No consideration for Lawrence either, huh?
No, he hasn't done, you know, I think it's a tough year. It's a deep year for the Heisman. And I think, I just don't think that they've been impressive enough. I think they had the one tough game, you know, barely squeaking through. They play in a weak conference. They're not really going to have to beat anybody. And I do think that this year with the Heisman, because you have so many great players that are putting up monster stats. I know Hurts is doing it in Oklahoma. Taylor, I think he had 90 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. People considered that a bad game. That I think it might factor in this year who ends up winning these big games. And like I said, I'm picking LSU to be the one to knock Alabama off in Tuscaloosa and break the streak of them being in the college playoffs. And in order to do that, Burrow's going to have to light it up and continue to do so. And I always love a good underdog. So that I'm going to stick with that. I really am.
Nas, do you want to give me something before we start to close up or no?
I guess the only thing I would add, I think Hurts. I think the voters want to give it to him because they want to kind of reward a guy when he loses his job and has to go somewhere else and kind of put himself back together. So I think everybody's rooting for him. So if he just does numbers and they keep winning, I think he ends up being probably the worst of the bunch as far as quarterbacks. But I think he ends up getting the award, though.
And you think people can forget completely? I understand it's the voters that vote for the Heisman, but you think they can completely just look at his work this year and completely forget about just the awful end and how he lost his last job and what happened there and not have that, you know, they are human beings and it is going to be a tight race. You think that's not going to factor in at all?
I think people like a good story. So the idea of the guy who lost his job and you know what I mean? I think that'll make a lot of sports writers vote for him. But I'm with you. I think the other two quarterbacks are better, but I think he'll get it.
Look at that. And what about you, Ty, really quick before we wrap up?
It's tough for me because I'm not going to lie. I am a Tua fan, and this is the one thing, not only like you said, like an underdog story, but one story that, like, rips at my heart is, like, the undersized player. And, I go back with sports back as far as I can remember, but I remember vividly right when I was getting ready to go into college was a quarterback down there in Atlanta, Georgia. I know you guys probably won't remember him, but he was a quarterback in Atlanta, Georgia. His name was Joey Hamilton. And he was Georgia Tech offense, like none other. He had them going crazy, running the option. He could pull out of the option and throw the ball like he was doing it all. But they just weren't giving him the credit just because he was a smaller quarterback. Tua is doing everything possible as a smaller quarterback. I mean, the only thing that he doesn't do, doesn't scramble as much, but, I mean, that's not his job. Like, he doesn't have to do that. But he's hitting every one of his receivers, tight ends, running backs in stride. That these guys catch those passes, and the defenders know that he has to hurry up and get there because these guys will get their eyes on them, not now, but right now. And it's like, I mean, they got him last year. They didn't give him the Heisman last year, It's understandable that I feel the way that they went. I really thought that Tua should have gotten it last year, but he didn't. And he's right back in the same situation, running his Alabama team as best as he can. They have to play the teams on their schedule, and he still ends up with, like, I'd just say more than two touchdowns a game, even though it could be way more than that by average. But he's getting it done with his offense. He's still young. If he wanted to, he could stay for another year. Like, he could stay and play football at Alabama and dominate college football again. Like, and he's still in this conversation. The Jalen Hurts situation, I understand where Nas is coming from, because Jalen not only won two national championships there, but, you know, he had his Heisman consideration while he was in Alabama, left because Tua took the job from him. And now he's in Oklahoma and having a Heisman run and doing it on the ground and throwing the ball. But, see, the one thing that makes me mad about the Big 12 is they don't ever play defense. So that's, like, that's the one thing that I'm hung up on about Jalen Hurts. Like, they have games that will be 72-65. It's like, who hit the game-winning three? Like who put who dunked on who at the end of the game?
You almost have to,
like,
double-check if it was a basketball game. Yeah. Is that basketball or football?
Every time. Like, all the time. It could be Oklahoma State and Texas Tech. It don't even have to be Oklahoma versus – you know, Texas Tech. Like, it could be any one of those Big 12 games. Baylor could put up a 70-point night in a game. Like, come on. I respect what he's doing. Don't get me wrong. I'm not overlooking what Jalen Hurts does. He's a phenomenal quarterback, but it's easy to score points in that conference. It's so easy. And Trevor Lawrence is an awesome quarterback. He's scary to me. To me, Trevor Lawrence could be the next best quarterback coming out of college. To me, the 6'6", makes the throws, guardy, he's not scared of anything. He'll talk junk to the defense. He'll scramble. Like he could be the next big thing. I think he may come out of college sooner than later. And Jonathan Taylor, this is the one thing that bothers me about Jonathan Taylor. It seems like every good running back that goes to Wisconsin has one of the best careers ever. They get to the league, and it's like, I don't know what happened in that transition from college football to the combine. Say that again.
I said Ben and Michigan both.
I agree with you.
Bust after bust.
For your health.
And you don't think, you don't think that Tua, you know, it's bears some weight that he's also throwing to arguably two top 10 picks in those receivers he's got, and he's got all those weapons around him. It's up to him to make the plays and get it done. But, you know, that team's built to win year in, year out.
Right. No, I agree with you. Like even as still as they weren't All-American receivers out there, all they have to do is get these guys to win their battle at the line of scrimmage. Whatever receiver it is, if they can get a step on the corner, he's making that throw that these guys are catching the passes comfortably. It's not even like he's making that throw and they have to stop, turn around, make a jump catch. I'll jump this guy, I'll fight him for the ball, and then come down with it. Hopefully this guy falls and they get a touchdown. No, these guys are in stride. It's a track meet every time you see an Alabama game. Every game that they play, these guys are chasing these dudes. Like, and they at least have like two or three steps on them, and it's clear. Like, these guys are Division I football players. I don't care who they are, even though they do play punk teams like the Citadel or something like that. Like, they'll end up smashing them, but it's like, come on. These dudes are D1 players that go to the Citadel. If you play the D1 player that played in D3, you'll dominate them. So, like, I understand it is Alabama. I understand that people aren't going to give them credit because a lot of people don't like SEC football because of the power conference talk, so on and so forth, and everybody's buying into Saban and Saban being the quote-unquote Bill Belichick in college football. But these guys have to go out there and make plays. They have to compete on that level, and they get it done. And Tua is the leader. And for him to upend a guy that had already won a national championship before him and then had to take the reins from him in the middle of a national championship game and win the game, like, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say. Tua, I can't even say his last name.
Start printing those Tank for Tua shirts down in South Beach. That's about all that's left.
Yeah, but okay. So I like how you present that. Do you think he's a good fit with the Dolphins? Like, come on, I would quit football. There's no way. I don't know if he could turn the Dolphins around.
No.
They're gonna need more than him.
No, I absolutely. I think, and I do think they have so many needs, and there are some great quarterbacks coming out. I mean, we haven't even talked about the guy out in Oregon, Jake Fromm in Georgia, who's still, I think, could come back another year. Not that their franchise quarterbacks that are going to save the day. But I think, like, yes, Miami has way too many needs. You've got a defensive-minded head coach, and I do think they hired him with the intention of giving him a chance to build a team his way, the quote-unquote Patriot way. And in doing that, they don't typically like to go out and draft flashy players. So it'll be interesting to see, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, there we go. We are capping this one off. A very good, interesting conversation back-to-back. We got a little help from the Peach State, from my big brother Nas down there. Nas, give me that good sheet, close out anything that you like to promote as we get up out of the kitchen tonight.
Be careful betting this weekend. Some really scary trap games, and the injury report on Sunday morning is going to be tough. So please, don't bet your rent money. Be careful.
And just for
good
the
advice.
Record, since you,
good advice.
Since you threw that out there, the Saints and the Bears, there are a lot of fans that I know, and I know a lot of people in Chicago were actually fearing the Saints coming there. Kamara is ruled out. And Jared Cook is ruled out. So those are some interesting pieces where a lot of people probably are siding with the Bears and Soldier Field. Do the Saints still have it in them to go in there and shake up the Bears? That would be crazy. So I like that assessment that you did throughout there, Nas. We will be watching this closely. So stay tuned for the Sunday brunch also too, Nas.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good weekend, man. Good talking to y'all.
You too. Thanks for coming on.
Aaron, you already know. Give me a plug. Close out anybody you like to shout out, anything you like to present. Please, the floor is yours.
Well, interestingly enough, and you'll have to bear with me for a couple more weeks, I'm going to shout out that New Canaan 7 Red football team. Those boys have been working as hard as I've seen a team work all season. They're out there, 7th grade, practicing till 9:30 at night. And they happen to be welcoming your Stanford Knights into town this Sunday at New Canaan on Dunning Field. So I just want to wish them luck and go out there and show them how it's done.
Yeah, shout out to my boy Mikey and his little crew out there. Definitely been having fun doing the show with you, Aaron. This has been great. Stay tuned. We got a lot of interesting stuff coming up in the next coming weeks. We will be back on the air Sunday morning with the brunch, with our perspectives, our views, fantasy players throughout the week. And just like Nas said, there can be some trap games, but I can't keep calling for it because I've been one of the worst picking games these past couple of Sundays. I need to get back on my ish. I'm mad about it. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Classic hip hop shit. Dr. D.R.E. Rose and Jay. Let's get them. We started out mopping floors, and now we front row at the awards. Number one for the last 20 years. If you real, motherfucker.